Seliges Wissen, Jesus ist mein, füllt uns das Herz mit himmlischem Schein. Wiedergeboren, frei von der Sünd, unseres Gottes herrliches Kind. Das muss ich singen, Jesus so ehr. Er ist mein Rühmen, einzig nur er. Licht mir und Leben, mein Sonnenschein. O du mein Alles, du nur allein. Zu deinen Füßen, o Herrlichkeit, seh ich den Himmel offen mir weit. Fluten der Liebe, Ströme der Gnade, rauschen herab den himmlischen Pfad. Das muss ich singen, Jesus so ehr. Er ist mein Rühmen, einzig nur er. Licht mir und Leben, mein Sonnenschein. Wachend und wartend blick ich empor, bis meine Seele in sich verlor. Von seinem Wesen völlig erfüllt, werd ich verwandelt ganz in sein Bild. Das muss ich singen, Jesus so ehr. Er ist mein Rühmen, einzig nur er. Licht mir und Leben, mein Sonnenschein. O du mein Alles, du nur allein. Das muss ich singen, Jesus so ehr. Er ist mein Rühmen, einzig nur er. Licht mir und Leben, mein Sonnenschein. O du mein Alles, du nur allein.
Du bist würdig, du bist würdig, du bist würdig, o Herr, zu nehmen Preis und Ehre, Ruhm und Anbetung. Du bist würdig, o Herr, Glorie, Glorie, Halleluja, Glorie, Glorie, Halleluja. Glory, glory, Alleluia, deine Wahrheit schreitet voran.
Gott ist noch auf dem Plan.
Gott ist noch auf dem Plan, und alles ist ihm untertan.
Wenn Nacht uns bedecket und Satan uns schrecken, so stimmen wir siegesfroh an. Gott ist noch auf dem Plan und alles ist ihm untertan. Weil uns bewahrt, bleibt Furcht uns erspart. Gott ist noch auf dem Plan.
Herr, schenk mir die Kraft.
Herr, schenk mir die Kraft. Herr, rede zu mir. Herr, hilf mir das Kreuz zu tragen mit dir. Herr, schenk mir die Kraft. Herr, rede zu mir. Herr, hilf mir das Kreuz zu tragen mit dir.
Und noch ich lieb ihn, ich lieb ihn.
Ich lieb ihn, ich lieb ihn, das teure Gotteslamm, das mich geliebt und für mich starb am Kreuz.
Amen. Ihr mögt euch sitzen.
You may be seated.
Auch ich möchte alle
I also would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of our Lord. All our friends, all our brothers and sisters from near and far, one can say from all over Europe and from other parts of the world. In particular, we would like to welcome our brothers and sisters from Romania who have come with a bus and with three cars. And whoever travels 1,700 kilometers, whoever takes time and expenses on himself to be here, to him God's word must mean much. We are very grateful to the Lord also for all you who are coming from the neighboring countries and who are traveling quite long distances. God bless you. May He bless us together. Then we have our precious sister Renate Schanz. Her former name was Fleck. She's here today from Flagstaff, Arizona. We welcome our sister and her two sons. And then also especially all who are here today for the first time. Do we have brothers and friends who are here today for the first time? Then please stand up. Please stand up so that we can see. Be welcome. The Lord God bless you in our midst. Be welcome. God bless you. Be welcome. God bless from the riches of His grace. Thank you. Then also I have to give you greetings from many brothers, also from near and far, from all over Africa, up down to Cape Town, Johannesburg, and Kinshasa, and Nairobi, and the various countries and cities. May God bless. Then greetings from Chile in particular. They are all joined with us and with the Lord. Greetings from Brother Etienne Genton. Greetings from Brother Graf. Greetings from near and far. We are just grateful that God has given the opportunities that we can have this transmission so that the word of the Lord can be heard all over the world, in Australia, just like here in Europe. Just so nice that God has led it in such a way that the whole world can be connected to the precious proclamation of the Word of God. Then we may not forget to welcome our precious brother and sister Miskis from Sao Paulo. Where are you? God bless you. In our midst. May the Lord just bless all who are here, and may He bless all who are connected, who are listening, and also all those who are hearing today, and also those who will hear sometime in the future. The nice thing is that God's Word is always up to date. And there are brothers who remind me that we already in the 60s also preached via Radio Luxembourg. I think here especially on our beloved brother Kupfer, who time and again he says, Brother Frank, that what you preached 40 or 30 years ago is today just so up to date as it was then. We don't have to take anything back. We have preached God's true word, and we will do it until the end. True prophets were always true prophets. False prophets were also there. They were all never a true prophet never became a false prophet, or a false prophet never became a true prophet. This is impossible. God has chosen men whom He could use as His vessels, through whom He Himself could speak. And we have the word of prophecy. And then He called the apostles personally, and He commissioned them. And even today we have the precious word. That what Paul has written at that time is today so up to date as it was 2000 years ago. What Peter has written is today just so up to date as then. The book of Revelation of John, the revelation of Jesus Christ, is today, I would almost dare to say, that it is more up to date than it was 2000 years ago. Because at that time, all this was still in the future. And John was told, I will show you things to come. Now the future has become present, and we may see everything, and by grace we can witness it, and we can have part in what God is doing right now. Just everything is grace, and again grace. We expressed already in the songs what moves us and what the longing of our hearts is, that in our midst and all over the earth, that an atmosphere among all the believers comes up, so that we truly become one heart and one soul, and that the Spirit of God can be poured out, and that the Lord comes to His right with all of us and through us by His grace. We believe that it will take place because God promised it. Both is promised in the scripture, the former as well as the latter rain. The former rain happens at the sowing time, and the latter rain happens right at harvest time. And so we believe that God has fulfilled the one, and the second he will also fulfill. Brothers and sisters, we can rely on God and his word. Blessed is the man who can believe what the scripture says and as the scripture says it. In the prophet Isaiah 55, we all were reading verse 3. I would like to read the last part of verse 2. Isaiah 55, the last part of verse 2. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And so that this can happen, it says in verse 3, incline your ear. Brothers and sisters, just grasp it once for all. Take heed to whom you incline your ear. Take heed who it is who speaks to you. What is his motive? What does he or she want to achieve by it? Here it says, as the thus saith the Lord, incline your ear and come unto me. Come unto me. Listen to me. And your soul shall live. For I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Then, in chapter 57, we were reading, or it was 58, verse 12, of the building up of the old waste places, that everything is restored into its original condition. But now comes the lesson, and this lesson we may not bypass. We were reading the first verse from Isaiah 59. And this verse does good to us. It does good to all of us. But what is with that? What is written from verse 2? And there we are called for self-examination, to look at ourselves in the mirror of the Word. I read it in connection from verse 1, Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But then it comes. And then it comes really very strong. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. This is a very, very serious word. And your sins have hid his face from you. Who can take it? Who can even listen to it when the Lord God speaks such a serious language with us? Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid my face from you. That I will not hear. I don't want to read on, because this text cannot fully apply for all of us. And yet, we are called to examine ourselves. Where do we have to correct something? Where do we have to ask for forgiveness? What do we have to say to the Lord, or to complain to the Lord or to one another? Then we go straight to Matthew 11. And this is a word which actually belongs into every meeting. Matthew 11 belongs into every service. In every sermon is the main thing that the Lord calls people unto himself. Not the teaching is at the first place. At the first place is the connection with God. And here it is written in Matthew chapter 11 from verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." The main thing in a service is that God can serve us, that the lost get saved, that people are called to repent and are being led by the Spirit to repentance, to by this enter into the kingdom of God, coming through the straight gate unto the narrow way, to then reach the destination. To Matthew 11 belongs Matthew 12. And this verse, also last Sunday in Zurich, it was laid into my heart. Here it says of our Lord, in Matthew 12, referring to Isaiah 42, where the promise is written, here it says of our Lord and Redeemer, verse 19, "He shall not strive nor cry." The same applies for us. We do not strive with any man. We are not screaming at all. We are preaching the Word of God. And we leave it to God, what it accomplishes in the individual people who believe it. But so much, it is sure. Only he who believes the Word of God, in him, the Word can and will accomplish for what it was sent for. And therefore it is written in Isaiah 53, in verse 1, "Who has believed our message? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And the answer is, whoever believes the divine message, to him the arm of the Lord will be revealed. Whoever believes the Word of God, to him it will be revealed by the Holy Spirit. What touches me in a special way is the next verse. Here it says in verse 20, "A bruised reed shall he not break, And a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth justice unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. The word victory I like very much. Until he sent forth justice unto victory. And in connection with this, the thought came to me, the same Lord is today present to comfort, to help. He never broke a bruised reed, never. He time and again straightened it out so that the oil can continue to flow. The Lord never did harm to any man, and the preaching also not. Inasmuch as we believe, then the Lord confirms his word in all of us by grace. I read once again, a bruised reed shall he not break. I don't want to ask how many are in our midst today who are going through trials, who are discouraged, who need the divine comfort. And therefore, we are of course here to have a new experience with God, to be newly encouraged, to be newly comforted and strengthened. Now, to show you the difference between the revelation which God gives to those whom he called and who believed him, and between the scribes or between the high priest who did not believe. Let us read two scriptures to it and let us transfer it to our time. God has no chance at all to speak to all the theologians. They know already everything. They all studied. They don't need to know anything anymore. Everything seems to be all right with them. From God's side, it's only all right if he could speak to us, and if he could reveal his word and will to us by his grace. Here, the well-known scripture from Matthew 16, verse 15 to 19, where the conversation of the Lord took place with his disciples. And then right at the end, the question was in verse 15, in Matthew 16, verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And you all know the answer. And then, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon this revelation of Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let us compare this with the high priest who also stood before Jesus here from Matthew chapter 26, Matthew 26 from verse 63. Here we read the following. And the high priest said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Tell us. And then it says,
and Jesus
answered him, yes, I am. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And do you know what happened afterward? Afterward came no revelation. But the high priest rent his clothes. Here it's written. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. Now, one just has to imagine the same Lord speaks with his disciples. And the answer was, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then comes the conversation with the high priest, with the highest man in the religion in Israel, the conversation with this high dignitary. Yes, I adjure thee by the living God, tell us, art thou Christ, the Son of God? And Jesus answered him, yes, I am. Here the Lord made immediately the bridge to that what is written in the prophet Daniel, chapter 7, verse 13, to Revelation 1, verse 7 and 8. For that man who knew the scripture and who was teaching others, this was too much for him. He rent his clothes and he said, this man blasphemed God and he is guilty of death. Just visualize the two examples. The same Lord, the same Savior, they're the disciples, they're the apostles, to whom the Lord said, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And then the high priest, the most recognized man in all of the country, in all of the city, who had the duty to enter once in a year into the Holy of Holies, to bring the blood, the sacrifice blood before God. That man who was actually appointed, to act by the commission of God. And behold, when the time was fulfilled, and when the veil in the temple should tear, our Lord introduces himself to this high priest and he says who he is. Yes, I am. And then comes the answer, and the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? And listen, what comes now? This hurts really. Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. Now just think for one moment. 4,000 years have passed from the first promise, from Genesis 3, verse 15, that the seed of God would come through the woman to bruise the head of the serpent. The whole content of the service, of the sacrifices, of the singing of psalms, everything and again everything had only one purpose, namely that the promise would find fulfillment and that the Messiah would come. And behold, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But they said, he is guilty of death. And this was not enough. Brothers and sisters, here our tears begin to flow. It says here in verse 67, then they did spit in his face and beat him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, and saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? It was not enough that they rejected him. They spit at him. They have beaten him. They mocked him. Him, the Savior, the only hope, the only salvation, spitting at it, beaten, called him of accused him of blasphemy. Brothers and sisters, let us come to our time and to that what God has promised to us. Tell me, who was more slandered at and backbeaten during all the years as than we as in this time? And what is it? The people don't understand it. They turn to their priests. They turn to their dignitaries. And there they want to have the answer. And this is impossible. The answer comes from God. Jesus Christ was the answer to all the prophecies, to all of the prophecy of the Old Testament. He was the answer. But this answer they didn't receive. And therefore, later on, they have chosen Barabbas. We have in our midst, or worldwide, the most different brothers and sisters, who are of course coming from various denominations, and all have the right to walk on the way of salvation, to hear the divine truths, and to be built up upon the most holy ground, as it was left unto us in the Holy Scripture. We go to the next comparison from the Gospel of John. Here we have also a comparison in chapter 8, John chapter 8. And my request is, let us examine ourselves, where the word places us, where we belong, to which group we belong. In John, in chapter 8, we read from verse 30, namely of those who believed. John 8, from verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. The multitudes who heard him and who received what he said, and those who believed, they hearkened to him. Then it says here, then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if ye abide in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. The abiding in the word is the most important thing. And we will emphasize it until the end of time. Every interpretation separates us from God. Every interpretation has poison in itself. Every interpretation destroys. Every interpretation brings death, as the first interpretation did it in the Garden of Eden. And therefore, we can not tolerate any interpretation. Really, not. This is not our hobby that we preach the Word of God, but a divine must, a divine sending, a divine mandate to preach the true, clear Word of God. And we cannot tolerate anything else. Here we have the key. Those who came to believe on him, to them Jesus said, if ye abide in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Not only claiming to be disciples, but you are of a truth my disciples. And only then, when we ourselves are in the word of truth, then we will know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Verse 30 up to 32. And then we have, in the next chapter, the statements of our Lord. We continue with verse 37. John 8, verse 37, here the Lord speaks again to the Jews who believed unbelieving, who remained unbelieving. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. There was so much tradition that for the word was no place anymore. I'm asking us today, without judging, what do we have today all over the world? Up to the charismatic. What do we have? Framework, entertainment, full programs. But where is God? God is there where his word is. And where his word is, there are his people. And his people receives his word and believes as the scripture says. Here, the complaint was, why did my word not find any place with you? Why? Why did you not receive it? You are Israelites. To you belongs the covenant. To you belong the promises. Your prophets, it were them who of course were announcing everything. Why? Why do my words not find any place with you? We could go today from church to church, from denomination to denomination. And the Lord would ask the same question. Why? Why did my words not find any place with you? Why can you not believe the promises for this time? Why was the divine message not revealed to you? Because you did not believe what God has said. Then it continues here in verse 43. In John 8, verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech? They understood every priest. They all understood. Only the Lord they didn't understand. How come the Lord asks that you don't understand my speech? And then comes the answer, even because ye cannot even hear my word. One has to imagine, there comes the Lord of heaven personally to his people. He speaks to them and they are not ready, not ready to even listen to his words. They are formulating the answers which are directed against him while he even speaks. And so, the word did not find any place. And they rejected salvation. And Paul reports then in Romans chapter 11, only the election has obtained it. All the others were blinded. Brothers and sisters, when God shows us His word, His plan of salvation, and speaks directly to us by His word, please listen to Him. Please do yourself a favor. For the heaven's sake, do yourself a favor and listen. So that to us can be revealed what the Spirit says unto the churches. And brothers and sisters, dear friends, we can of course not bypass what God has done. We all know, in the Old Testament, the Lord Himself came down in the cloud and in the pillar of fire. He revealed Himself to Moses in the burning bush, and He was commissioning him. And the people of Israel, they really, in all of the time, He led them by the pillar of fire. One can read it all over, especially in Exodus chapter 13. But this I read now for a very specific purpose, to say to us once again very clearly that the same Lord has revealed Himself in our time just in the same way, to show us the way, to illuminate us the way. Here, in Exodus chapter 13, here we can read the verses, Exodus 13 from verse 20. And they took their journey from Sukkot and encamped in Etam, in the edge of the wilderness. And now it comes. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Brothers and sisters, it must be said time and again that the same God, there's only one God. I don't want to go into details today, but on Wednesday, the 13th of June, in the Vatican, a speech was held about the Trinity. It's in the internet. It can be read there. There's, for instance, written, if God would have been alone, if He would be one, then He could not have loved, because otherwise He should have loved Himself. And then comes all of the argumentation. I don't want to spend time with it. But we believe that there is only one God. But this one God has of course revealed Himself in a manifold way as Creator, as Sustainer, as King, as Judge, as Savior, as Healer. The one God can of course be all in all. For this then there's no need of two or three who love one another. The love was of course not within the persons of God, but God so much loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that all who believe on Him should not perish. Not one God loved the other God, but God loved you and me. He loved us. That's how the Holy Scripture teaches it. Yes, one could, yes. But here, coming back to this word, then we have the second word, right? In Exodus 14, verse 19 and 20, it's written, And the angel, before it was the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. Now it is the angel of God. Here it's written. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And then verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Brothers and sisters, it must be said, and if we don't do it, no one else will do it. We just have to say that God also in our time has spoken out a commission, because he had to fulfill a promise. And this is always the point. In the days of Moses, God fulfilled the promise which he gave in Genesis 15, verse 13. After 400 years, I will lead your descendants out of bondage. When the time was fulfilled, when the promise should be fulfilled, then it happened. Then the supernatural happened here on this earth. And Moses received his calling and his sending. We have written it. We have said it. At the commission of Brother Branham, he was told, as Moses were given two signs, so you are given two signs. I believe it. I've heard it from the lips of the man. And God not only confirmed it 1,000 times, but he confirmed it thousand of upon 1,000 times. And God confirms only his word. And his word comes always to the prophets. At this place, we are of course not preaching a man, but we do not bypass what God promised and did. But we belong to those who hear God's word, who believe the promises, and who get it revealed. Today, I brought with me four statements of Brother Branham, where he speaks about, and he says the following. I read from the English, and I try to translate it into an acceptable German. I'm reading, tonight, that same angel of God that's pictured on that paper is right here at this platform. Then, the question, what is it? The answer, it's the angel of the covenant. And then, hold fast your seats. It is the Lord Jesus Christ identifying himself. Brothers and sisters, how could Moses bear the reproach of Christ? Christ, of course, was born 2,000 years ago, but it were prophets. It were men of God. And therefore, it could be written, and it was written in Hebrews, that Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Why is it written in Corinthians, the rock which was accompanying Israel was Christ? which Moses has smitten. One has to connect the Old and the New Testament together. It just belongs together. And then the next statement of Brother Branham. I just read that part, which brings the statement. You can see it. It's that same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. He is here now. He is the angel of the covenant, which was Christ Jesus. And he is here now. We all know, in January 1950, that picture was taken in Houston, Texas, with a pillar of fire above the head of Brother Branham. But then came, of course, also the 28th of February 1963, right before sunset, when the picture was taken with a cloud. One time the pillar of fire, and one time the cloud. God could not have done it more perfectly. God showed us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Really, it cannot be more perfect. God did not owe us any answer. We have it in the Word as a promise. And then we have seen it and witnessed it in reality. Then it says for the third time, any Bible reader knows that the pillar of fire was the angel of the covenant. The angel of the covenant. And now it comes. The Logos that went out of God. And then, which was Jesus. And then it says, he died and he ascended up into heaven and will take us home. Everything belongs just together. And then Brother Bram says here, now, tonight, he is here. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brothers and sisters, we are dealing with God. But as we are reading in the Gospel of John, the Word must find a place. The Word must find a place. How often did we say it? If we are not giving the Lord our attention, why should he then even speak to us? If I turn away and you want to speak to me, what then? No. We thank God that we may witness Bible days again at the end of the time of grace. That God has sent his Word to make us well. And then we come to the point from John chapter 4, verse 34, where our Lord has said, and this let it be given to us as an example. John 4, verse 34. Here it is written, Jesus saith unto them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What is your food? We can speak about it, that we partake of God's word. As we heard in the word of introduction, come and eat, come and drink, come and eat. Here, our Lord connects the food with the will of God to finish the work which he had to do. With what does God connect today his living and revealed word, which has become our food, namely with the will of God, so that the will of God can be shown to us and revealed to us. And so that we receive the power to be found in the will of God. Because only in the will of God, the Lord can lead the church to perfection. And therefore it is written that He Himself, our Lord Himself, will present the church unto Himself. No prophet, no man of God will do it, but the Lord Himself will do it. Here it is written, Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 27, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. A high calling, a high goal, without blemish. Brothers and sisters, we all have to examine ourselves. We must find out whether we are found in the obedience of faith. Paul has of course expressed it in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, right in chapter 1. With the calling and the sending which was given to him. 2 Timothy, here in chapter 1, we read the following. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. The will of God was the food of our Lord. I am not come to do my will, but I am come to do thy will, O God. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will. And then we have recently looked at it here. In this will of God, we were sanctified in Jesus Christ our Lord. Once for all, inasmuch as we let ourselves be placed into the will of God, so that God's word finds a place in us, and so that the Holy Spirit can lead us into all the truth. You all know, the task is that the church is brought back to the beginning. There we have, in the book of Acts, chapter 4, in verse 32, I think it is, we have the text of the unity of the church. And we must lay it to all the ministering brothers to their hearts, to keep the unity in the Spirit. And the unity in the Spirit can only be kept if we abide in the Spirit of God, in the Word of God, and in the will of God. Every interpretation is another spirit. This one has to speak out very clearly. So, Acts chapter 4, verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Thereto we must come. This must be the purpose, the goal, so that the Lord God can truly be present in such a way that everything is fulfilled. What happened also then? Where was our Lord? We looked at it in Matthew 12. We didn't read it, but at that time, they were bringing people to the Lord. There was, of course, no meeting where not the power of God was manifested. We were reading in Matthew 12, the verses 19 and onward. But here, in verse 15, it says in Matthew 12, but when Jesus knew it, He withdrew Himself from thence and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. He healed them all. And then it says in verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. The Lord wants to put his spirit upon the church. It must become a reality. As sure as we understood the beginnings of the book of Acts, and as we have seen it, so sure we recognize the ways of God in our time. The leading out of the church is, of course, the command of the hour. Ye, my people, come out, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. And I tell you, whoever reads it up in Revelation 18, he will find out that the voice came from heaven. It didn't come from any platform. It came from heaven. And if God has sent his servant and prophet to bring us back to the biblical proclamation, back to Jesus Christ, back to the Word, back to the biblical baptism, back to the Bible. If this has happened, then really, only for one great purpose, that the true church hearkens to what the Spirit is saying unto the church, and that it is being prepared unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about today. Out of this reason we are here tonight. Out of this reason all over the world are connected now to hear that God has given promises and that he fulfills them in our time. That he has sent a message, a messenger with a message. As John the Baptist at that time was a man sent from God. He who heard him, he heard to that what God had to say unto the people. And whoever was baptized by him confirmed by it that his commission was from God. The scribes, again, they made the exception. They rejected the counsel of God for themselves. They were not baptized by him. They knew everything better. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't speak to scribes. No, maybe to some. Also today, some can be called out. But in general, the scribes have taken away the key to the knowledge, and they themselves did not enter in. They themselves didn't receive and accept. And I say it very openly now. In the last publication of the Lutheran faith community, that's really written at the first place, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then one can get angry, and the whole world, all churches, Orthodox, who they might be, no one starts in the name of Jesus Christ. All are starting in the same way, all over the earth, here 1 billion, there maybe 800 millions, and who they are, all together. We have, of course, around 2 billion Christians, so-called Christians. And one has to imagine, on every Sunday morning, at every act, at every funeral, at everything what has been done, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I'm asking now, then I have to ask, is there something like this in the Bible? And then I have to say, no, it is not. I have to say it. It doesn't exist. And then the people are not happy. Then they say, one moment, all the churches do it. I'm not interested what churches are doing. Also in that speech of the Wednesday, the 13th of June, that high gentleman in Rome, he said, I refer to Eusebius of Nicaea. Yes, I'm not referring to Eusebius of Nicaea, also not to Tertullian, also not Augustine. Doesn't matter who they are. I have to refer to God's word. I have to refer to that what God has said in his word through men who were ordained by him, who had a divine responsibility. And we today, we of course have the same responsibility. But behold, all are joining, all are taking part in it. And the calling out is bypassing them. They remain in the traditions. Nothing is in conformity anymore with God and his word. The Lord cannot address them anymore. Therefore, brothers and sisters, all over the world, it is a great grace that God has a remnant in this time. Let us bear the reproach of Christ. Let us bear the scoffing. Our Lord, that's how we read it. He was spit at. He was beaten. He was mocked. And he was even asked, prophesy unto us who it was who smote you. May the people smite us. May they spit at us. May they accuse us. May they do everything. May they do it. It hurts. We pray for them. But we are looking to the end. Our Lord, despite of all the mocking, and I tell you one thing, when the crucifixion took place, then the high priest and all the other priests, they were rejoicing and they were thinking, ah, finally the end of it is here. No. No. This was a new beginning. The crucifixion was just the end of one period. And brothers and sisters, also we must be crucified with Christ. Also we must lay the old man into death. Also we must experience our reproachful end together with our Lord, the crucified one, so that we can rise together with him unto a new life by his grace. But I repeat it, in the moment when all the world was thinking, now it's over, his end has come, he's hanging on the cross, and one said, they say, even said, the tomb should be guarded for at least 3 days, because he of course said that he will rise on the third day. And behold, they were guarding the tomb. And there was one who is in heaven, who is above everything, above all. And behold, an earthquake happened. And the stone was gone. And the risen one walked up and down. Brothers and sisters, that what was looked at to be the end was a new beginning. The resurrection has proved it. Our Lord has risen. Just be honest. Very soon, no one knows how long it will take. But when our translation takes place, and when the trump of God sounds, and when we will be taken up, then, of course, everything will be worthwhile. All the slander, everything was worthwhile. And somebody said, everything what God allows brings us closer to the Lord and molds us. And the Lord God comes to his right with all of us. Let us summarize. God has a plan of redemption. God has given promises. The first one and the last generation are of a very special significance. at that time, the beginning, the introduction, now the end, the completion of the plan of salvation of our God. And as we were reading, our Lord, at that time, He brought justice and righteousness to victory by rising from the dead. Death and hell were conquered. Behold, I was dead, says our Lord, and I live forevermore. And the same Lord has said, I live, and ye shall live also. The moment comes where we come from believing unto seeing, where everything will be worthwhile. All the scoffing, everything what was said about me, about us, everything what has come over us, everything will be worthwhile. And the scoffers, they will be left behind. And we will see God. We will see the Lord of glory. And we will be forever with Him. Please, let God's word enter into your hearts. Let it fall upon fruitful ground. Believe as it is written, so that it can be revealed to you, that we together give the Lord the opportunity by faith and obedience to have a church which has become one heart and one soul, where really no strange doctrines, where nothing anymore is carried into it, which causes a disruption. Every interpretation, every new doctrine brings interference, brings divisions, and all this must have an end. Right at the end, all the ministries must serve for the upbuilding of the church. No ministry may shear out of line anymore with a special knowledge or with a special doctrine, and by this causing trouble in the body of the Lord. And I tell you, if all the ministering brethren have become one heart and one soul, and when everyone carries out his ministry as he was counted worthy of God to do it, then the unity in the church will also be manifested, regardless in what city we come, in which country. I say now in closing, my last journey through the Caribbean, I have experienced it. Brothers and sisters, I really wished that I don't want to call it enthusiasm, but the echo, the reaction of the brothers and sisters who have heard the word of God and who received it by faith. I didn't experience it like this for a long time. Brother Tati, he's also here tonight. He was my translator in the meetings in the Caribbean islands. And in the last meeting, I think about hundreds, they came upon the platform. They were running to the platform. I was thinking, they are tearing me into pieces. And they said, Brother Frank, God bless you. The other one said, thanks be to God that you carry the word of God. Everybody was saying something. They were overwhelmed of the word of God. Where's our amen? Where's our agreement? Where's that what God accomplished in us? Brothers and sisters, I believe, although we have different mentalities, but I believe an echo could also be here with us, not toward a man. We are just vessels. It is about the content. It is about the content. It is about the word of God. And up to today, we didn't have one single own doctrine, not one single own knowledge. We preached the word of God in truth. Because the bride church is a word bride. And the seed is the word which is sown into our hearts. Praise God for everything what He is doing on the earth. And we wish all, in all peoples, tongues and nations, we wish them God's richest blessing. We wish them that they experience their preparation together with us. That we are all looking forward for the moment that we become one heart and one soul, so that the pillar of fire can come down, and so that the Lord really comes very personal into our midst. One single time we have witnessed it here on this platform many years ago, that the Lord came down, that a brother right there from the balcony, Brother Van Hees, he has cried out loudly, "I see the pillar of fire above the platform." It was 1978. God can restore everything. Also that what Satan thought to destroy, God will rebuild everything. All the old foundations will be here again. And it will be more glorious than it was before. God is faithful. He keeps His word. And we believe it. And we will experience it by His grace. To Him be the honor and glory for everything. In Jesus' holy name, Amen. Let us stand up for prayer. Let us thank the Lord together. I'm always asked of a dear sister to say here that the brothers should not be so loud. But what shall one say to it? I hardly can do it, because the Lord says, if these keep silent, then the stones will cry out. Then the stones will cry out. Doesn't have to be so loud. Let us thank our God now together. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, we thank you together with all our hearts and with all our souls. You have revealed yourself to us. You have revealed your plan of salvation. You have spoken to us. And we have received your word. We have believed the message, and the arm of the Lord will be revealed to us. Precious Lord, save the lost. Save the lost. If there are still some in our midst, regardless from which country, from which language, save, deliver, redeem, give grace. Give salvation. You will not break a bruised reed. You will not quench the smoking flax. You will give new oil, new filling with the Holy Spirit. Great God, heal the sick. We thank Thee with all our hearts that You confirm your word as being true. Baptize also with the Holy Spirit and fire. Make us one heart and one soul. Dear Lord, may in everything the end be like the beginning was. To you, the Almighty God, we say thanks. We say thanks with all our hearts and with all our souls that you have taken us into your kingdom and that you revealed unto us your word and your will. Precious Lord, may the world scoff, may they spit, may they be angry. You, O Lord, you have revealed yourself to us, and we thank you for it, and we praise you. We praise your holy name. Together we glorify the power of your blood and of your word and of your spirit. Your covenant is an everlasting covenant, and your promises will all be fulfilled. Oh, great God.
Hallelujah. 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 Seid ihr, dem alleinigen Gott.
To the only God.
Dem alleinigen Gott.
To the only God.
Hallelujah. Durch Jesus Christus.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Gott.
God revealed in the flesh, justified in the spirit, preached in the world, received up into glory. Great God, we believe every word as it is written, and we thank Thee for it, that it is true, and that You have revealed everything to us by grace. To you, the Almighty God, we say once again thanks. In Jesus' holy name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.